Hello and welcome to India Career Center, the one-stop podcast for students, professionals, parents, and guardians. In every episode, we will try to deal with a current topic that needs expert advice related to career, career guidance, and career mentoring. Please welcome your host, Dr. S.B. Mishra, to the show. And happy listening.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode on India Career Center. This is episode number 35. Today, the topic is about aviation industry. Let me give a context to this topic today. The aviation industry in 2020 was estimated to be about $170 billion. And it is estimated that by 2026, it's going to be around $300 billion. Which is approximately about 7.6% growth every year. In another report by the International Air Transport Association, it is expected that aviation industry is going to record a net profit of about $4.7 billion for the year 2023. And they are expecting about 4 billion passengers to fly in this year. In another report, which is with respect to Indian aviation industry, it is estimated that the number of fleet of aircraft is likely to be almost double within a couple of years, between 23-24. So it's basically quite an exciting aviation industry. Though we all know how the pandemic really affected us for this particular industry, and it was first to be affected actually. But I think it has also bounced back quite fast. To discuss about all this topic, as well as also to discuss about the main stakeholder in the aviation industry, which is basically the pilot. To discuss about this topic, we have got Ms. Urvi Jani, who is basically the managing partner for the organization called the Pilot.in. They are based in Mumbai, and they have been helping young students to basically plan for the training programs, for the pilot training programs. Urvi, welcome to the show, and thank you so much for you to take out time and join us for this.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mishra, for inviting us to your podcast today. A little background basically about me. I am Urvi. He said I am the managing partner and founder at the Pilot.in. And basically, we specialized into commercial pilot training program. That's what we mainly specialized into. My motto at the Pilot.in is just to spread an awareness that this is also an option. You know, you can become an airline pilot after 12th, after graduation, or you can change your career at any given point of time. If you're passionate about flying, about traveling, then this is a place to be. And I think it's a very responsible and a respectful job as well. You know, a little background about the Pilot.in. Basically, we started this about 5 years ago, and we were the first one to facilitate an end-to-end commercial pilot training program. You know, we made a cost-conscious, time-effective, and a hassle-free program for our students. You know, so that they can purely focus on two things: that is, the ground part, the ground training, and the flight training. So it's an end-to-end thing that we started. And I'll be happy to share as we discuss about the process or about the qualifications or the cost or the duration that is required for all the aspiring pilots in India.
Fantastic. So you said you started about 5 years back. And during this period, how many students you have helped to achieve their dream so far?
You know, on an average, if you see the civil aviation issues anywhere between 800 to 1,000 licenses in a year. I think last year was the highest, about 1,017, if I'm correct, was the license that was issued. A year prior to that was about 750. You know, so out of the 800 or 1,000 licenses that I issued, I would say at least hundreds of them have been trained by the Pilot.in.
Fantastic. And you yourself have been part of the aviation industry, I think.
Sure. So I'll give you a little background. Basically, I come from an aviation family. My father-in-law was an airport head for about 32 years. You know, so the in-law side of the family is a part of aviation. Apart from that, I myself was working as a crew with one of the leading airlines in India for a short moment of time. And post that, I always aspired to become a pilot, you know, during. But back then, to be honest, this is one such area wherein you will not find proper guidance or proper information, or not there are many people in India who will handhold your process, you know. So even a thought for anyone to think that I want to become a pilot, you know, there are so many myths that if you have specs, maybe you can't be a pilot, or if your height is particular, then you can't be. If you are overweight, you can't be, you know. So back then, when I had a thought of becoming a pilot, I didn't, in spite of coming from an aviation family, I couldn't find the right guidance. Prior to become a pilot, maybe unable to fulfill their dreams because lack of guidance or lack of information. And that is when we decided to start this concept of providing end-to-end solution for commercial pilot training.
Fantastic. So tell us about briefly about how the airline actually hires. So for example, if let's say there are X number of planes with the airline, how many pilots are actually hired, and what is the calculation, and is it different for India or different for rest of the world? How it is?
So more or less the same. If it's a narrow body aircraft, anywhere airlines usually require 5 sets of pilots. That is the first officer and a captain, you know. So on an average, for a narrow body aircraft, you require about 10 to 12 pilots, versus the wide body aircraft, the bigger planes, you require 10 to 12 sets of pilots. That will be about 20-22 pilots per aircraft, right? Also, let's say airline usually takes about 1 or 2 months to do the selection process. Once the first officer or the captain or the pilot is hired, you know, they have their own set of training. The process to make them a line ready pilot, it's in itself is about 6 to 8 months. You know, so airline actually have to start the process, I would say, more or less about 1 year in advance. So based on the projection, let's say a particular airline is expecting about maybe 30 planes in the next 1 year. So about a year prior is where the selection process starts, you know. And as we discussed, the number of planes that are in order in our country right now, about 700, 800 is the projected number. You know, even if you have to consider into 10, anywhere between 5 to 7,000 pilots is what I forecast that we will require in the next coming years.
So basically, your forecast is about 5 to 7,000 pilots are required in India by 24, 25, or how is it?
I will say the next 5 years.
5 years. Okay. 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 So you mentioned about your own aspiration to become a pilot. So now that we are trying to reach out to aspiring pilots of the future, so let's talk about what are the different steps to become a pilot in India. So what is the qualification required? What is the kind of cost, a ballpark figure kind of thing, and the duration, if we can broadly address these three areas.
Sure. So basically, we start with the eligibility. The requirement to become a pilot is simple, 17 years of age. As early as 17 years, you can start your training. The qualification is only +2 with maths and physics. However, if you have students who are from the commerce or the arts background, you know, and if they don't have maths and physics in their 12th, they can easily go to the open school and just register for the on-demand exam for either maths or physics, which they don't have, and they just need to get the passing marks, you know. So requirement is pretty simple, +2 with maths and physics. And if you are not from the science background, then you get the physics or the maths subject that you don't have. You can start this course anytime, you know, as early as you finish your board exam, the +2. And most of the airlines, they hire you up to fresher, up to the age of 35, you know. So we do get a lot of students who finish the graduation and then look for a career change. Someone who is 25. In fact, I have students who are even 28 and 30 years enrolling with us. You know, maybe at a later stage of life, you realize that, okay, this is what you want to do, or you're not happy with the current profession that you have selected. So age is not a problem. Anytime during 17 to 32, 33 is a good time to start your pilot training. The course duration is just 1 year, you know. more or less, I will say 3 months, three and a half months of ground. If you have to break up, then three and a half months of ground training and about overall 10 to 11 months of flight training. So within a year, year and a half, you can easily get your commercial pilot license in your hand.
Okay. And what would be the cost of this program?
Cost would vary anywhere between 30 to 50 lakhs. The reason there's a huge, you see there's a sharp gap in the number is because it depends from where you decide to do your flight training. You know, there are students who wants to do the flight training from India. And at the same time, there are students who also wants to go abroad. So every country has their own process and their own cost structure. So as economical as 30 lakhs versus as high as 50, 55 lakhs, depending on the country you select.
Okay. Now that you spoke about different options in the different countries, so what would be the advantage for studying abroad vis-a-vis India for the pilot?
Okay, so we do have many good FTOs in India as well, you know, but like any other educational field, a lot of students still want to go abroad to pursue their flight training. I would say the preferred destinations where Indian students go would be US, Canada, New Zealand, South Africa. You know, there are a few countries in the world, they follow their own curriculum as well as they follow the DGCA curriculum. Right. It's important for a student to go to a flying school who understands the DGCA requirement. Otherwise, when they come back, it will be a challenge for them to convert, or maybe they will not be even able to convert the license into the Indian license. Right. One of the main reasons I would say why some of them would want to go abroad is because when you go abroad, you get dual license. First is a foreign license. And obviously, when you're going to come back, we're going to assist them in the license conversion process. So they'll get an Indian license as well in more or less the similar cost. Correct? I think second advantage would be somebody may want to have an international exposure. You know, good FTOs in India and abroad cost the same. So then students are of the mindset, why not have the international exposure if it's a similar amount of cost that we end up spending? You know, most of the flying schools abroad have a controlled airspace. You know, when I say controlled airspace, schools are located right in the middle of the city, right? Versus in our country, maybe most of the metro cities may not have a flying schools because of the air traffic congestion in itself are there. So these are the few reasons why sometimes students may want to go abroad. But then you also have an option if they don't want to go abroad in a similar time frame of one and a half year from a good FTO, you can do your flight training in India as well.
Okay. And how many such training institutes are there in India right now?
In India, I would say if you have to count on paper, an approximate should at least be 25 to 30, at least in India. But maybe the most active might be 10 or 12 or 15.
Okay.
They might just have 2 aircraft or 3 aircraft versus there are large FTOs which has about 15 aircraft, 17 aircraft, you know, depends. Yeah.
Okay. And when somebody goes to study abroad, is there a possibility that he or she can actually stay there and become a commercial pilot in that country as well?
Yes, that option is there. So the first license they get, example, if someone going to USA, the first license they get, the US license is called FAA. You know, they become a FAA CPL holder, right? So they have an option of staying back over there, but foreign airlines would not easily hire them as a fresher. You know, they are looking for an experienced pilot or minimum experience of 1500 to 2000. You know, so if somebody wants to settle over there, then after doing the CPL, they may want to do the instructor rating course, work in a flying school as an instructor for 1.5, 2 years to get some experience. You know, once you have certain number of hours, then you can approach an airline over there. Right?
Okay.
Or the other option is to come back to India. Get the license converted here, look for a job here as a fresher. And maybe once you have a couple of years of experience, you always have an option of going back abroad.
Okay, so the license which you get in that particular country is valid for your life?
Correct, yes.
Fantastic. So other way to look at it, just thinking loud. So if somebody, let's say, gets trained in USA or Canada, for example, and he or she is able to somehow manage to get into a aviation industry, which is not really passenger flight, but also something into, let's say, the logistics.
The cargo.
the cargo. So
Cargo
is that a
flight.
possibility?
That is a possibility. It's the same license.
It's the same license.
Yes.
Okay.
They have the option of working in a private jet or a cargo, even. In fact, a lot of flying schools in Canada, they have their own private charter service also. So once the student finish the CPL, a country like Canada, wherein the work visa or the PR is pretty easy. And this comes under high skill as well. The profession comes under high skill. So somebody in Canada may want to finish the CPL, and if they want to get some experience, you can work in the same flying school wherein they have their own private charter service also and gain the experience. But the
Okay.
journey to reach an airline would be only after gaining to at least minimum 2,000 hours of experience.
Okay. Now the other way, somebody not going abroad, but he or she is actually trained in India. For them to go to another country and become a pilot there, what's the process?
So somebody who is trained in India. So let's say if you train in India, you straight away get an Indian CPL, correct? You look for a job here, and maybe once you have 3,000-4,000 hours of jet engine experience, that is when the foreign airline will consider you. So you have an option of then going abroad. They have their own process of then converting the license. So we have a lot of our close friends and family who are working for a lot of foreign airlines. But again, that is they did their training from India as well, but then only after gaining certain years of experience.
Okay. And you mentioned about this conversion into a DGCL certificate. How complicated is that process? How difficult is it?
Process is not complicated. The DGCA themselves has the guidelines right on their website. There are certain specifications basically that is given. Now, if you have to break down overall the pilot training course, I would say three important parts as per me. One is the medical. You've got to be medically fit as per the Indian DGCA requirement standards. Number two is the theory part. There are certain theory papers that they need to clear. And number three is the flight training part. Minimum of 200 hours of flight training is what we are looking at. Now, let's say somebody who's gone abroad has done the flight training 200 or maybe more than that in a particular country. Now, when you come back to India, your medicals also before going, we make sure that students have cleared the medicals and they're medically fit. Now, once they come back, the process of license conversion is, in case if you have not given your theory papers before going, then you come back and give the DGCA theory papers, right? And then you have to do about 8 to 9 hours of flying in India. Those are called skill checks. Wherein the civil aviation says, okay, you have a foreign license. That is maybe their way of verifying that it's a genuine license. You demonstrate the flying over here. Those are called checks, wherein you go to a particular flying school and you perform certain checks, day check, night check. They have their own pattern of 8 to 9 hours of flight training. And end of the training, you submit the documents to civil aviation and you get, based on the foreign license, you get the Indian license.
So as far as I mean, I know in the recent times, I think your institution is quite busy with a lot of students. So what is the current trend right now? I mean, most of the aspiring students are going to a particular type of country or how's that? I mean, if you can give us some
I
idea
would
about it.
say, see, during the lockdown, we had majority of them who just wanted to, their parents were hesitant to send them abroad because of the lockdown and things were uncertain. So we have majority of our students who wanted to get trained and at our partner flying school in India. But I would say post-lockdown, you see a majority of the trend going to US. US aviation, US is always known as aviation hub right from the start. So US is the first choice. If not US, then the second option is a lot of students are of late going to South Africa as well, budget-wise, very economical. And again, then there are a set of students who may not even want to come back. They aim just to settle abroad. So those are the set of students who would want to go to Canada. Canada is an easy way to settle down in the long term. So it purely depends on what is their preference, what is their budget that they are looking at, because every country would cost them differently.
Okay, I was under the impression that post 9/11, getting especially pilot training, admission as well as the visa in US might be a little challenge, but you don't see that as a problem.
No, as long as you are a genuine student and if you can, obviously US do have one-on-one interview. If you can't able to clear the interview. The intentions are clear that you're just going abroad to do the flight training. The aim is just to get the CPL, come back to India. I don't foresee US visa as a problem if you're a genuine student. That's not the case. And obviously, embassy does have their own way of doing the profile, the background check, the profile check before they give you the visa. And if you see like any other course, usually if you go for a master's or any other postgraduate course, the course in itself is for 2 years, 3 years. And after the course, most of the time you do get 2 years, 3 years of another work visa as well. But this comes under vocational category, you know, so it's mostly is the M1. They call it the M1 visa. The course itself is just for a year. So the embassy knows that students are going to come back. Right. Plus any country that you go, whether it's India or USA, they do have their own, like in India, before you start the flight training, they do the PCC, police clearance certificate. In the same way, you know, when you start, when students, they go to USA before they start their flight training, that is something called as TSA, transport security, you know, admin clearance. So they do have their checks in place. So, yeah, that's how it is.
Okay. So, for somebody who is aspiring to become a pilot, if you can tell us the entire sequence of how you go about guiding them and how exactly your institution is actually helping them with the timeline of you, because you mentioned about DGCA conversion and things like that. So, which means that, let's say a student is coming to you today, he or she can expect you to handhold the entire process for about 1.5 years. Is that right?
Yeah, that is correct. 1.5 or maybe a little under that also, we should be able to finish. See, like I said, because we handhold all the process, you know, it's a win-win situation. I mean, from a student point of view, they will end up saving a lot of time and money, you know, because this is a very different course. Usually, if you are doing a graduation or any particular course, you take an admission in a college and you graduate from there with a degree, right? This is a skill-based program. Here, we are looking forward to obtain the commercial pilot license. You know, the civil aviation has the guideline wherein they have about 8 to 10 different process. And maybe all the process are done at different places. You know, medicals is done somewhere else. Somebody may want to go for the ground classes. Somebody may want to go for abroad for the flight training, license conversion, right? So because we have structured the course in one such way that we will be one-stop shop, you know. And again, like I said in the start, me coming from an aviation family, I had my own set of struggles to figure out the process because the process do keep changing over the years as well. You know, so we do get connect with a lot of, I have a lot of students, their parents are captain, you know, and sometimes I feel that, okay, you know, your parents are already a part of aviation industry. Maybe you may not need me, you know, but when you speak with the captain and they say, you know, 30 years back, things were different when we were captain. We have absolutely no idea what's happening today. So that's where we come into the picture. You know, they have this comfort level that even a smallest of the doubt that you have, you know, you may want to pick up a call and speak with someone. A smallest of the thing, as simple as, you know, EGCA, something new that has come up. So EGCA guidance or registration, anything. There are so many processes where you may get stuck on. Or medicals also, you know, sometimes you don't know how to get a medical appointment, which doctor to go if something goes wrong in the medical, who is a point of contact. So basically, we are one-stop shop for them. Right. In terms of time frame, anywhere between 1 to 1.5 year, I think once you start with us, you should be able to get your commercial pilot license in your hand. Right. To break it down, we start off with the medicals first. It's important for me to know that you are medically fit as per the civil aviation standards. You know, so we have two types of medicals, that is class 2 and class 1. Class 2 is a basic checkup that happens. And once you clear class 2, then it's a class 1, which is almost like a full body checkup. Right. So we make sure that, they are medically fit. Once they are done with the medical, they have two choices. Either they say that we do self-study, we give the theory papers, or they want to do the ground bit, then they can join the ground, do the ground classes for about 3-3.5 months. You give the theory papers and then you decide whether you want to go abroad or you want to do your training in India. Or versus I also sometimes get, you know, a few set of students who say that, ma'am, we want to go abroad after the medicals and we want to come back and clear the paper. That is completely their choice. But at any given point of time, when you want to obtain the Indian CPL, the medicals, flying and papers has to be in place.
Urvi, also please tell us about your associations across the world.
So we have tie-ups globally. We have our flying school in USA. We have flying schools in Canada at Vancouver, flying schools in New Zealand, South Africa, India. So we have multiple tie-ups across the globe. Additionally, even for type rating, we have multiple SIM partners in Indonesia and in Spain, in UAE as well. So these are the multiple options that we have for flight training. Again, when you partner with a particular flying school, it's important for students to check that the school understands the Indian DGCA requirement, the DGCA paperwork, the DGCA process very well, so that you don't struggle. One of your question was a general mindset. A normal conventional student sometimes thinks that if I go abroad, there's a lot of paperwork, or license conversion in itself is a lot of hassle. Sometimes. So it's important for you to take a decision, any particular school that you are going, that they need to follow our DGCA curriculum, at least for the Indian passport holders, apart from their own curriculum.
Okay. And each of these associates or partners have multiple number of locations of flying schools.
Yes, that is right. They all are at multiple places. In Canada, we have a school in Vancouver, and we have another one in Alberta City. In the US, we have a school in Florida, and we have one in California as well. In South Africa, we have schools in Lens area. So it's all at different places.
Okay. Okay, and what about India? How many flying centers are there across India?
India, we have one partner flying schools. However, the school itself has multiple bases across India. Right from Maharashtra to Karnataka to Madhya Pradesh. School has multiple flying bases. So student can choose depending on which particular base they want to go, maybe nearest to their home to do the flight training.
While flying, it is a very intense concentration which is required.
Correct.
So is there any specific personality trait which you normally try to see while counseling a student?
No, not really. As long as you have the qualification and the age, when you go to a flying school, they train you for all possible areas where they can. And again, when you go for an airline interview, they do also have certain levels of, few rounds of interview. So sometimes you might see maybe psychometry or few other aptitude tests or such kind of test airline do take.
Okay, great. I think we did try to cover most of the points which we thought of discussing today. So it was fantastic to have you here to talk about this fascinating role, I would say, which is already very good, and I think that the future also is fantastic. So I would encourage young people who are aspiring to take up as a profession as to become a pilot, to connect with us, connect with the pilot.in, and take your journey forward and live your dream. I think that's what I would like to say.
Thank you so much, Mr. Mishra,
Thank you.
for
Thank you
giving
so
us this
much.
opportunity. It was lovely to chat with you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hope you enjoy this episode. We sincerely wish you could take something from our conversation today and be able to apply it to your life in a positive way. We value your feedback. This can help us improve our future episodes. So share your thoughts to serve you better. If you want us to focus on a topic which you think is of importance, let us know. We will share our expertise in future episodes. So, see you soon with a new topic and help you in your career journey.